Let's pray. Let's pray for London. I don't even know what to say. 22 more dead, 59 more injured. Man, people in this world need Jesus, right? God, we love you so much. We love Jesus, and we know that he is the answer to life. He is the answer to this world. He is the answer to brokenness. He is the answer to shame. He is the answer to everything. We know that Jesus is the answer, and we pray for the people in London right now that are trying to figure out what is life really worth. Father, may people find Jesus. We know that you have the ability to work all situations out for your good. We pray that there would be a revival that happens in London because of these acts. We ask that something good come from tragedy. And we know that you have the power to do that, so we ask that you would do that. We pray for the churches, our brothers and sisters in London that are maybe receiving some people that are just trying to figure out what it all means. I pray that you would give them words, but more importantly, you would give them your Holy Spirit to know that life has meaning when you have Jesus. Help our brothers and sisters around the world to know that today. Help us in this room to know that today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When a newspaper posed the question, "What's wrong with the world?" They went and they asked a bunch of different thinkers. There was one of my favorite smart guys, G.K. Chesterton. He simply replied with this: "Dear sirs, I am. What is wrong with the world today? Dear sirs, I am. Sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton." It says that is the attitude of someone who has grasped the message of Jesus. We are what's wrong with the world today. God made a world that was to be perfect. Man entered it and pretty much botched it up right away. What is wrong with the world? You and I are what is wrong with the world. But God has an answer, right? The Bible's teaching on what's wrong with the world is that we are. I have not had to go to court very often. Actually, once. And I went to court when I was 16 years old. Because I was on my way from Champaign to Springfield, Illinois. Right outside of Springfield, I was 16, mind you. I was on my way to our high school's first playoff game in like 15 years, right? It was like a huge deal. And so we're going, all these people are going over to Springfield. It's going to be played us versus Sacred Heart Griffin. I don't know if you know that name at all. They are like a football powerhouse. And we thought, oh man, they're a tiny school. We'll be fine. We got beat 72-2, I think, or something like that. So I'm on my way. Just got my license for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And I'm with like 3 or 4 high school guys, you know. It was a bad situation. I'm going 92. And it had dropped down to 55, which I didn't realize. So it's like almost 40 miles over, and I get pulled over. My friend's dad was a judge. He goes, "They don't joke over there in Springfield, man. You better lawyer up." I was like, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. What does lawyer up mean? And so he goes, "Here, let me give you a lawyer." And so I had to go to court. And the lawyer steps in and says, "How do you plead?" And I had to say, "Guilty." And the lawyer worked it all out where I got to pay about $500 to have my freedom. But I got to keep my license, which was good, right? I've not been to court. That was it. That was the only time I think I've been to court. I was an idiot, of course. But I was scared out of my mind. And I want you to know, Paul is using courtroom talk throughout the book of Romans. I'm going to try to just fly through this because I have very little time. But today we're wrapping up the first section of Romans. We talked about the purpose of the book, the background, the Gentiles are guilty and the Jews are guilty. And so we talked about, so the first week we just talked about the intro and what the thesis was. And then we spent a week talking about God condemning the Gentiles. And Paul is saying, you've invented new ways to sin. And then last week we talked about how then Paul turns his focus to the Jews, the Jewish Christians, and says, hey, guess what? You're no better. You may have not invented new ways to sin and such, but you are still guilty. Guilty, 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 just like they are. Now, we talked about how there was, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles in the Roman church viewed themselves as on two ends of a scale or two ends of a spectrum. But what we talked about is how in reality, they weren't on two ends of the spectrum. They're on the same side. They're just going different ways. But they're still what? They're still found guilty. They're still found guilty. Because when you look at the law was given so that you might understand you don't measure up ever. Nobody can keep the law 100% of the time. Nobody. Paul is saying in verse 9, just in case you missed it, well, let's read this. Paul is saying everyone is guilty. Look at Romans 3, 9 through 20. Well then, are we Jews better than the others? No, not at all, for we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is good, not even one. No one has real understanding. No one is seeking God. All have turned away from God. All have done wrong, gone wrong. No one does good, not even one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their speech is filled with lies. The poison of a deadly snake drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of curses and bitterness. They are quick to commit murder. Wherever they go, destruction and misery follow them. They do not know what true peace is. They have no fear of God to restrain them. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given. For its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to bring the entire world into judgment before God. For no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what his law commands. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying it. Paul is saying in verse 9, are we better off because we're Jews and we have the law and we're following the law? And he says, no, we're not better off. Us trying to keep the rules and regulations and everything of God, what he's saying is, we're still guilty. And we will learn later on that if you are just guilty of one sin, you're guilty of breaking the whole law, right? Just one. And if you can't say that you are perfect, then your punishment is death. But Jesus, right? But Jesus. The first point here is that the human race is sinful. We all live under the power of sin. I mean, this church, we all live under it, right? This church, that church, every church, we all still live under sin, right? It's why parenting is so important. It's why camp is so important. Deuteronomy 6, starting with verse 4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again and again to your children. Talk to them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Tie them on doorposts of your house and on your gates. It's why camp is so important. It's why family is so important. It's why parenting is so important. Sin is powerful. It's enticing. We have been tasked with raising a new generation up that loves Jesus. And we are slaves to sin. In fact, it says that Paul says later on in a different book, he says that sin is roaming around like a lion waiting to devour us. Paul is trying to point out how foolish this arguing back and forth is. It is like two guilty people on a death sentence arguing that the other person is more guilty. It's foolish. It's as if to say, hey, dummies, you're both guilty. You both get the same punishment. You're both on death row. What's the point? And some people think they're good to go. Some people are like, you know, I'm a good person. I don't do a lot of bad things. I'm good. I don't need church. I don't need Jesus. I just need to be a good person. And I'm telling you, there is a day coming. We don't know when it is. I hope it's soon. But there is a day coming where there is going to be a reckoning. And God is setting up a courtroom. And not only is he the judge, he is also a witness. And he is going to declare you guilty. But Jesus. And there are also some people, and you guys know these people, that say things like, I can't go to church. Look at me. Look at what I've done. If I went into church, I think the place would burst into flames. Have you heard people say that? If I went to the church building, I think there might be an earthquake and people might die. I can't do it. I can't go to church. I'm not good enough. And I just wish those people could understand that nobody is. We're all a bunch of misfits. We're all a bunch of sinners. Some people are just a little further down the road than other people. But luckily, Jesus. Paul does something pretty incredible here. He takes a bunch of passages from the Old Testament and he weaves them into a tapestry of the words of God. From Psalms 14, 53, 5, 140, 10, 36, Isaiah 59. He takes them knowing they are the words of God as if he is calling God to the witness chair. God, you are always a judge, but you are also our primary witness. What do you have to say about the people of earth? What is your testimony about mankind? And what we find out is that man's character is not good. Verses 10 through 12. I can find 10. As the scriptures say, no one is good, not even one. No one has real understanding. No one is seeking God. All have turned away from God. All have gone wrong. None, no one does good, not even one. Not even one is considered good. You take the best person on earth that you can think of, Mother Teresa, or you know that lived, or I don't know, some good person, Billy Graham, somebody that we say, yeah, this is the person. This person is awesome. This person is God's servant, and they are still found guilty. Because it says that no one is good, not even one. Next thing we see is that man's speech is not good. Verse 13 through 14, their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their speech is filled with lies. The poison of a deadly snake drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Reminds me of the book of James, where James says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who may have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And it's as if Paul is saying, yeah, everybody on earth, we are all guilty. We are guilty of talking out of both sides of our mouth. We are guilty of saying we love God and then turn around and the very next thing saying, yeah, but I hate my brother. Man's speech is not good. Man's actions are not good. Verses 15 through 18. They are quick to commit murder. Wherever they go, destruction and misery follow them. They do not know what true peace is, for they have no fear of God to restrain them. Jesus kind of said it. He said, have you ever lusted? You're guilty. You ever been jealous? You're guilty. Have you ever hated? You're guilty. Have you ever gossiped? You're guilty. Have you ever cursed? You're guilty. Anybody done any of these things? I have a feeling the answer is yes. Because I've done some of them too. It says they no longer fear God, the Creator, the Almighty. Look at verses 19 and 20. Paul is saying, obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to bring the entire world into judgment before God. For no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what His law commands. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying it. Paul is saying that you are misunderstanding the purpose of the law. It is not to show you are superior or that you are more holy or even greater a people because God gave it to us, not you or them or those guys. The whole point of the law is to show that the entire world is guilty. People without the law, people with the law, all guilty. Jews, the law has never saved you. It has only condemned you. You need a Savior, but Jesus. Well, this is a really depressing sermon. We're all guilty. Yay! So what's the answer? The answer is what I gave you a couple weeks ago. It's the whole point of why Paul wrote this letter in the first place. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, Jews first and also Gentiles. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. And as the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. What's the answer? The gospel. The good news about Jesus. That He came to earth, lived among us, dwelled among us, lived a sinless life, died a death that was unjust, but did it willingly so that He could declare us righteous. Because when we come under the lordship of Jesus, God looks down at His creation, and if you love Jesus, you literally have the blood of Jesus covering you. Like the doorpost from back in Exodus. You have a doorpost with the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus, and it is covering you. And God looks at you and declares you, that is my son. That is my daughter. They are right with me because they love my son. The answer is Jesus. The answer is the gospel. The answer is that we are guilty, 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 but Jesus loves us so much that he lavishly poured himself out for us. It was for the joy set before him, says Philippians, that he willingly went to the cross for us. Let me read Ephesians 2. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger just like everybody else. But God is so rich in his mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us up from the dead long ago with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. When you love Jesus, it's as if God hangs you, a picture of you on the wall, and says, "This is my masterpiece." What's the answer? Jesus. Oh, man. Do you love him? I hope so. If you need to make a commitment for Jesus today, we invite you to come down. You don't have to wait till you're at a Christian camp. You don't have to wait till you're with family and friends. You can make a decision about Jesus today. And in fact, you should. Because we are not promised much in this world. We are not promised much at all. But we know that when you come to Jesus, we receive the gift of eternal life. And we at Bone Christian Church want you so badly to be with us forever. To live our days worshiping and praising and loving on Jesus. If that's a decision you need to make today, come down. If you need prayer, come down. We'll pray with you. If life is rough, come down. We will help you find Jesus. We will remind you who he is and help you get picked up and dusted off and set on the right way again. We at Bowen Christian Church love Jesus, and he is the answer, the only one. God, we love you so much. We pray again for our friends, our brothers and sisters, and we pray that you would be with us in this room. Your spirit would be among us. It would walk among us, and it would flow through us, that you may find us your masterpiece. We love you. Please be with those people around the world that are not able to worship freely this morning. Might you strengthen them. Might you strengthen their faith. Might you help them to receive the power from your Holy Spirit. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.